No.
What's your least favorite scary movie?
Jill. Welcome to Watch Your Least Favorite Scary Movie, the podcast where we talk about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the absurd in all of our favorite
and least favorite
scary movies.
Because we believe every horror movie rightfully has its fan base.
Even if we don't always get it.
My name is Travis.
My name is Jesse. And if you recognize that quote or, you know, read the name of the episode you clicked on to listen to, we're talking about Saw 4!
Yeah! Back to our franchise.
Yay!
Our lovely Saw franchise.
So happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. This is like a familiar favorite. Yeah. Like, we went out there, we got weird with Suspiria, and now we're back to Saw.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm excited.
It's uncomplicated, but also kind of complicated at times. Soap opera, torture.
Costas.
and Luke from Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to talk about him. Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking a lot about him this episode, too. I've got some things to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. The only announcement I have right now is, it's a two-part announcement. One is that To Be or Not to Be is this weekend.
Yay!
So keep an eye out for that. And then and it's my pick.
It's your pick.
All right. Yeah. We're going to get weird, y'all.
I'm scared.
And then the second thing is that if you are a budget tier patron, then we're going to have our bonus episode out to you just in time for Thanksgiving. And that's because we're doing a very special episode. We're doing another commentary track. And if you're like, why is it going to be out next Wednesday? What could be so special about that? And if you're thinking, are they going to talk about Blood Rage? Yes, yeah. We are doing a commentary track on Blood Rage.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
It was 2 years ago that we talked about that. And I feel like we've improved since then, so I want to give it like another crack at like tackling that material. It's not like another episode. We're just, you know, going to be talking over it.
Oh, I'm probably just going to make the same stupid jokes, but they're more fun in the moment.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
If you're watching
along.
No,
actually, I don't want to say that I'm making the same stupid jokes. It's going to be a different experience than listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was like
you want to feel like you're getting your money's worth.
No, it was like that with Sleepaway Camp. Like, we had fun doing it. I felt like it was a good time. You know, I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
all right. Travis. Poll results?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. Good podcasting.
Yep. Okay. So last week we talked about Suspiria, like I said, and our poll was, do you believe in witches?
Witch.
So we have over on Instagram, 85% of you guys believe in witches and 15% do not.
Okay.
Meanwhile, on Twitter, which some conversation sparked about like people having relations. Multiple people mentioned that they married witches.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like one person, but surprisingly, that one has only 57% of people believing it and 43 not.
And 57% of that 57% have been in a relationship with a witch, apparently.
I'm a fucking dumbass. I just tried to click the notification button on a screenshot I took. It's like, what else happened?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear at this point that I believe in witches.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I knew that you would. Actually, we've talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
I'm more of a skeptic. I won't say that it's not real, but I
won't say that it is.
I'm in the middle, man. Like, okay. I got to see some definitive proof.
Okay.
That's all I need. You know, like, we can say that they are witches. For those of you that have had real encounters with witches or have married a witch, you know, tell me about it and maybe that'll bring me further on over to that side. But as of now, I lean more towards the no.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So now we can talk about Saw 4.
All right.
Let's do this.
Yay. Saw 4 released October 26, 2007. We watched it on Shudder, but as of 11/11, make a wish, you can watch it through streaming on Shudder, Pluto TV, Hulu, AMC+, YouTube TV Primetime, YouTube Premium, and Prime Premium. You can also rent it from Google Play or Vudu.
I'm happy that it's on Shudder. It seems like it would never, especially with, I'm sorry, but Shudder has kind of been in tough times lately.
Yeah.
And
it's been a little weird.
The fact that they got the entire franchise on there, minus like the newer movies, it was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Good work for you guys. It kind of reignited some hope.
Yeah. We own this one too, but it was very much one of those, it's like two clicks of a button to pull it up on Shudder.
I got a rule.
So
if we own the Blu-ray and the 4K, I said it. I'm sorry. You. I'm sorry, Joe. Joe Freakatron, I talked to him this weekend. He said that he...
I ruined it for him. Yeah, yeah. He's told me that personally.
Yeah. So if we have those, I watch
ruining,
them.
Ruining phrases people like you're fantastic. Is one of that. My favorite things
yeah.
to do.
Yeah, that's one of your skills, honestly. Like, I hate it, but you know what? I'll give you credit. You do a great job at that. But if we have a DVD and there's like a streaming option, that's what I go for. I go for the streaming because at least we get to watch it in HD.
Yeah.
But those are very sentimental DVDs for us. So it's they like are. Have held a special place to us.
Yeah. My mom bought them when the Blockbuster closed down and they were doing like a sale of all of their DVDs. And Travis was like, someday we got to upgrade all of these. I was like, absolutely not. We will not. These are sticking around forever.
Thank you, Naomi. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Okay.
Written by Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan with additional credit to Thomas Felton.
This is their first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I love these guys.
Directed by Darren Lynn Bozeman. Music by Charlie Clouser. And special effects makeup by Patrick Baxter, I think. Damon Bishop, Chris Bridges, Francois Dejeuner, Kyle Glenross, and Neil Morrill.
Wow.
So you'll recognize some of those names are returning names.
Yeah.
So.
Good job.
Starring Tobin Bell as Jigsaw / John Kramer, Costas Mandalore as Hoffman, Scott Patterson as Agent Strom, Betsy Russell as Jill Tuck, Lyric Bent as Rig, and Athena Karkonis as Agent Perez.
Yay.
Travis, time for our favorite game, Budget or Bucktard.
So I remember being shocked at the budget of the last one. So I'm going to say they probably gave this one same amount, if not maybe a little bit more. So I'm going to say budget.
Wow, they did give it the same amount. It's another 10 mil. So budget, but barely.
Nice. Right at the threshold right there.
Yeah. Opening box office of 31.7 mil and a worldwide gross of 139 mil.
God damn.
Currently sitting at a 5.9 out of 10 on IMDb.
Hey, that's solid for a Saw movie, especially.
So.
Nice.
I've got a theme for the first two movies and a backstory on the third movie.
Okay.
So 28 weeks later.
Okay.
Released May 11th, 2007. Budget of $15 million and a worldwide gross of $65 million. IMDb of 6.9 out of 10.
Very nice.
I've only seen that one time with you.
Oh, really? Was that the only time?
Yep.
That movie is like okay, but it has an amazing opening.
I didn't realize that it had Jeremy Renner and what's her face?
Imogen Poots?
No, there was somebody else too.
I
recognize her face and name. Fuck.
I don't know.
I'll have to look it back up. Okay. Second movie. Halloween.
Halloween. Oh, the Rob Zombie one?
Yep.
Yeah. Damn, they had to compete. That is why they released that in August, because they're like, fuck, Saw has our holiday, but man, those motherfuckers have it on lockdown.
Because it released August 31st, 2007. Like you said, you remembered. budget of $15 million. Worldwide gross of $80 million. So actually did better in the box office than 28 weeks later.
Nice. Oh, that's not surprising.
And an IMDb of 6.0 out of 10.
Hell yeah. That movie deserves more love than it gets. And that the reason I remember the release of that is because that was the first one I saw in theaters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the third movie. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give a little backstory.
Okay.
So in the first episode of season 5 of Dracula, one of the monsters, Cynthia Dahl, their prompt was terror in the woods. And Cynthia Dahl said they were going to do a hummus to fungus and recreate do an homage to the movie Shrooms.
Yeah.
And they said that they had watched it with a group of friends and it was like, oh, it was in like late 2000s and there were a bunch of people and it was kind of weird and fucked up. And I, like, laughing in my head was like, I'm going to say that in our next late 2000s movie as, like, a description of it.
Okay.
And then when I saw that this was the same year as this one and this is our next late 2000s movie, I was like, bingo!
Yeah.
So.
Wait, is that this movie, Shrooms?
Shrooms.
Oh, fuck, man. For some reason, I felt like that was an older movie.
No, 2007. I remember seeing, like, the poster for it in, like, early streaming days of Netflix.
Yeah, I think I vaguely remember it, too. I'd be down to watch that.
Yeah, I've never seen it, so I'm intrigued for multiple reasons now.
Yeah.
Released November 23rd, 2007. don't have a budget, but it did gross $4.4 million.
Wow, good job.
And it has an IMDb of 4.6 out of 10.
Okay. I mean, that's not too surprising with, you know, everything that was said about that.
Okay. Tagline.
Just one?
There's multiple.
Oh, okay, good.
I was just reading the worksheet. I wrote tagline, singular. Okay. It's a trap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. It's a trap.
What's the fucking guy from Star Wars? General Akbar?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, that's all I can think of, which mm-hmm. I think this is before that was memed to hell and back, but yeah. Yeah. Here we are now. This Halloween, give till it hurts.
Ooh. You know, I think that would be more fitting for the next one.
Okay, I had the same thought process, but all will be clear in a few minutes.
Okay.
So, Halloween Blood Drive.
Halloween Blood Drive? Seriously, is that the tagline?
Yep.
Did they have a blood drive, or is this just like, hey, it's like a fucking Halloween blood drive? I don't...
Yes.
You don't... Okay, we don't know. That's confusing to me.
If it's Halloween, it must be soft.
Of course, yeah.
I think that's just the tagline of the franchise at this point, though.
It is. Yeah, I think it is.
You think it's over, but the games have just begun.
Ooh, now that's
good. That's a good one. That's one because, like, part three ended with John Kramer being killed.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like the end of the whole thing. Yeah, you think it's over. Yeah.
Okay. So, Wanell didn't want to write any more Saw scripts. He was like, I'm done. But him and James Wan still remained on as producers. They still wanted to be heavily involved, and he was still aware of the script decisions that were being made.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't actually do any of the writing, but he knew everything that was happening. Dunstan and Melton were brought in. An executive had read the Midnight Man script that they had written and were pitching, and they wanted to use an idea like that or that. It's a little bit unclear the way the stuff was written. Uh-huh. They wanted to use it as a prequel explaining some trauma that happened to John Kramer, but the remaining two producers of Twisted Pictures were like, we're not really interested in a prequel right now, so sequels.
You know, I think that ended up becoming The Collection. Yeah, because they wrote that, and I remember reading, like, it was heavily inspired by... So that explains, like, all the traps and shit inside the house. Yeah. I remember it was supposed to be like that, yeah.
So Dunstan and Melton pitched, like, a trilogy from 4 to 6, and, of course, like, the ideas that they couldn't fit into part 4, they used in part 5 and whatnot.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Just, you know, kind of as is tradition for this franchise.
Yeah.
Principal photography lasted from April 16th, 2007 to May 3rd, 2007. So a very short shoot.
That's surprising.
Really short.
It came out the same year, too. They had to, like, get that shit pumped out.
This thing was on a rush.
Damn.
The final fun fact I have that I said would make things make more sense. Lionsgate held its 4th annual Give Till It Hurts blood drive with the Red Cross when this movie was released. So that means they've been doing it since the beginning of the franchise.
Oh, seriously? And they wow, how did we not know that?
I don't know, but I really love that. I think that's cool. Such a good, like, it's such like a worthy thing. To donate blood if you are able to. There's a lot of like problems with the guidelines they have for donating blood. It comes from a very
antiquated
that was a nicer word than guidelines. I was gonna use very like bigoted place, but
that's more accurate, I guess.
It doesn't change the fact that blood is still needed, so it's kind of like, while I don't like supporting those rules, I also want to make sure that people have blood if they need it,
because
it happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is cool. And sorry, I misspoke. It wasn't The Collection. It was The Collector. I always get the two mixed up. But
oh, I thought you said The Collection series. So I just ran with it.
No. Well, kind of. Yeah. But The Collector was like a prequel kind of. I think I read that a long time ago that like spawned from that.
Okay.
Which explains the traps and shit. But whatever. We're talking about software. Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right, cool. Well,
speaking of talking about Saw 4.
It's time to do so.
Yeah. All right, you get to kick it off. What's your good, Travis?
Oh, my good. Okay. So they did a good job picking it up from what would have been a finale to a trilogy, which It seems like it was kind of hard. Like the way that that ended, it's very final. Like you kill Jigsaw, you kill Jigsaw's successor. What the fuck are you gonna do next?
Mm-hmm.
And the twist of having it be Hoffman, I thought was pretty solid. It's not one that you would expect. I mean, the overall twist in this movie that it's happening simultaneously with three is mind blowing. I think that this is the peak of twists in the series, other than maybe the first one, which, you know, that one's hard to top because it was the first one. But no, they did a great job with the story with this. I'm very impressed. I liked giving Riggs more screen time because he's always been a bit of an interesting character that's just kind of been like a minor character.
It's just to nitpick so we don't go through the whole episode.
Yeah, yes. I'm sorry. Okay. I started off writing Riggs.
Riggs shops at Kroger's, and when he doesn't feel like dealing with Kroger's, he goes to Meijer's.
We gave a guy in school so much shit for doing that. He would say, yeah, I'm going to Walmart's. Like, oh, you're going to Walmart's? Okay, cool. No. Okay. Yeah, Rig. So I like Rig as a character, and I'm glad that they gave him an opportunity to shine. They gave him like some actual characteristics and, you know, made him stand out from the rest of the pack.
Especially because he was supposed to be a bigger part of part three and just have shooting conflicts.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that, which is, you know, that's cool. They're like, okay, hey, we've got you here. You know, we've got the sequel. Let's just make you the star of this one.
Which I think really says something to the fact that Wan-El said he was still involved.
Yeah, sure. but yeah, you know, I really like that, the twists and all that stuff. I thought that they kept the same like momentum going with the special effects. I thought everything looked great in this one again. You know, it's just a good entry.
Yeah, I think that the one thing, this franchise gets sillier and sillier, but I think the one thing it does is it stretches itself to keep the continuity going. And sometimes it's a little dicey, but like, honestly, it's really impressive that they made this work. That this duo comes in with a new trilogy idea and they make this one happening simultaneously. And there's like little hints throughout if you know to look for them.
Yeah.
But also like in my head, the first time watching this, I was like, okay, so this has been a very short time since the last movie.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. And I remember watching this in theaters with my mom, of course, because that was their thing.
Yeah.
I remember she was, I'm kind of giving a mini review for her. blown away by the ice block kill at the end.
Oh man,
she was
brutal.
Like, that's so fucking gnarly. And then we both like audibly gasped when we saw Jeff and realized what was happening.
I
we
know.
Were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So it just, I think it's a good time. And like you said, I like that we've got Rig. I feel like we got all of the people that were involved in the first one that got like face time. We got to see an arc for all of them.
I wish we had more of Carrie.
Yeah, but I wish she'd gotten a little bit more. And it definitely, I wonder if maybe she would have been more in like a future one if Riggs' storyline in part four had worked out, or part three had worked out.
Yeah, you know, it could have been. Yeah, I wonder how much that did impact the overall series.
But she was pretty heavily involved in part two, so.
True, yeah.
So, yeah, I feel like we got like some good closure on those characters that we started the franchise with, but we opened up it. Like, it feels definitely like a new arc of the franchise, but it closes the first one in a very satisfying way.
I mean, I know we like shit on, well, we don't shit, but we make fun of Kostas's involvement, you know, Hoffman being like the Jigsaw, but I like him as a Jigsaw because he's like a whole other type of character.
Yes, he's like, he's just very angry as a person. He's not particularly cunning, but he's smarter than average, and I think it's very fascinating to watch his arc play out over the next four movies.
Yeah, all the way up to seven.
I think that he's really compelling, and we're gonna have a lot to talk about with him and everything that goes along with that. So
yeah, it's cool that you get to see the differences between the Jigsaws. Like,
yes,
they all have different approaches to how they do things, and his is like you don't survive my traps. You're pretty much, I brought you here because I fucking hate you.
Yeah,
I admit that I am a killer.
Yeah, his is like a whole sense of justice, but different than John's sense of justice.
Yeah.
Like, his justice is just retribution.
Exactly.
You know,
Which that gets a little bit more dove into in the next movie once we get to actually explore him being Jigsaw, because we don't find out he is until the end of this movie. But
and I also, listen, we all know. We all know I'm a Gilmore Girls girl.
Oh, yeah.
Another thing I watched with my mom. And it is a little bit jarring that it's Scott Patterson, but also at the same time, I didn't fully realize it the first time watching it that this was Luke. And I think he plays, in some ways, a very similar character. He's very, like, rough around the edges. And I think he does it really well in this Fed kind of way. You know, like, you know this character. He's very archetypal. You don't have to think too hard about it. He does what he's there to do. And I like it. And I like that the next movie, he's going to just completely destroy his vocal cords trying to sound like he has a rasp the whole time.
Yeah, but he sells it, man. He goes all in. He does. And I respect the hell out of that. That's so cool. And I also think that this is cool that we are finally adding on another piece to the Gilmore Girls.
I know.
So that's how we covered Stay Alive back in the early days of the show, because we had somebody email us. It's like, hey, by the way, if you guys want to add more Gilmore Girls, like horror movie characters.
Well, we had to round out all of the Rory major boyfriends. Yeah. So we just need the teacher that proposes to Lorelai in the early series. And then I think we're pretty well settled up. Maybe then we can get what is Rory's friend's name? Fuck. She's a drummer. She marries the member of her band.
Dory.
We'll get
We'll
get her husband. We'll find him in a horror movie. So okay.
Well, if you guys know of the person that Jesse's talking about and you know of a movie.
I know who I'm talking about. I just don't remember the names. I'm gonna have to pull them up.
Well, I'm putting on a call to action. If you guys have any Gilmore Girls people in horror movies you want us to cover, let us know, because that's kind of like a weird thing that we're doing.
Yeah, this is our niche in the podcasting, the horror podcasting world.
We need to put it in our bio or something. Okay, so bad. Time for bad?
Yeah.
All right. I think the whole motive for Rig in this is kind of ridiculous. Like, the whole thing is for him to not act, but he has a lot of the things that he's presented with are things that it's hard for anybody to ignore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not just the fact that he's barging into things without analyzing the situation. It's just like he's presented with something and I don't know, he's trying to work on it or help him. Like, he's a cop. That's his job. And I just don't really, I don't fully buy that motivation.
My headcanon for this, if I may.
Go ahead.
Am I good?
Please, go.
Okay. Is that because we find out at the end of this that Hoffman's involved. I feel like he told John, like, hey, there's this one guy who's kind of bad at his job, but he's also very obsessed with this case. We got to take care of him. And John's like, well, I got a few other people I wanted to set traps up for, and maybe I can make it a whole thing.
Yeah.
So that's what is happening in my head canon.
That makes sense. I also like the idea because in the very beginning of the movie, he barges in and Hoffman's like, don't fucking barge in, man. I fucking told you. And then like that right there just kind of like pushed it. He's like, I'm going to kill this motherfucker. Like, not even really put him in a trap. I'm just going to kill him. I'm just going to fucking kill him.
I'm just over it.
Yeah. But you know, it's got to be in like a fun way. But yeah, he's done for. Okay. But I mean, that's my main bad thing for this movie. I just, you know, I think it's kind of like a lame motive, personally.
Do you want my bad?
Yeah, go ahead.
The transitions between scenes, they're jarring and distracting.
I had it as a good thing. I like those. I forgot to say that, but no, like, I like that because it's cool.
I just find it so distracting. Somebody's being tackled in one scene, and then, like, it's like they're falling into the police station, except they're not actually there. It is distracting to me every single time. You know, like, when you watch a PowerPoint presentation, and you like a nice, gentle transition. I don't like just clicking through the slides, you know? I like a transition. But when you've got a different transition on each slide, and each bulletin point, one zooms in, one boing, boing, going, one spins. That's what this movie is.
Too much flair.
Yes.
My favorite thing, one of my favorite parts is whenever it's a flashback of John Kramer and he like turns around to look through a window, but he's like looking in through the other side of Strom.
Yeah.
Interviewing his wife. And, like, you know, he's not supposed to be there. He's dead, but, like, he's still in frame. And I would be like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And he's like, oh, sorry. Just, like, backs away. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I couldn't get another take because they had to film it so fast. Okay, ugly.
Yeah.
My ugly is I noticed a lot of CGI blood in this, especially in the opening trap with the blind guy and the guy with his mouth sewn shut.
Yeah.
Whenever he starts taking the claw of the hammer to his head, like, CGI blood's just shooting out. And CGI blood, like, I understand, but really, like, you guys have $10 million. I know that these aren't really that expensive to make. Like, just do some fucking special effects, some practical effects, especially for something like blood. You know, like, you can do that.
I think it was very of the time, though, that CGI. We're gonna throw in CGI blood. Yeah.
No, you're right. I mean, it happened in a lot of Rob Zombie's movies.
Yeah.
Like whenever it Wes happened Craven in
Final
Scream
Destination
4.
Movies too, because they would actually do the practical work and then they would throw CGI stuff on top of it.
That's lame, man. I don't understand that. But yeah, I mean, they did it in Scream 4 also. Like, he did like CGI knives in that.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Like, new technology is cool. Like, let's play with it. But whatever. It's just kind of ages terribly.
Yeah.
And then other than that, like, the amount of sexual assault that is in this movie. Like, there's a lot of, there's at least two of the people that are victims in this movie are there because of just sexually assaulting people.
Yeah.
And it's really uncomfortable. Like, those are just some of the most famous
people.
Yeah,
we got, like,
this.
Child trafficking.
Yeah.
And then sexual assault. And that kind of leans into my ugly, which is this is where we start, using domestic violence in a lot of Saw movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's really watching this little girl is all bruised to hell and back. Mom's bruised to hell and back. And the dad is just a scumbag. And it's like, wow, this is really uncomfortable.
To be fair, this kind of happened in 3 also with Jeff and his daughter.
Oh, yeah. See, and that's what I'm saying. And, like, we're going to get it. I know for sure we get it in Jigsaw. We get it in... Oh, fuck, which one is it? Is it part 7? No, there's like another one where we... No, it's not 7. Okay, this isn't making my point sound very good. I was thinking about it earlier and I was like, this just keeps coming up in later movies, is that we get like a lot of domestic violence. Oh, Hoffman, why he gets started as a Jigsaw. Because his sister is domestic violence to death.
Oh, yeah. That's in the next one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, like, it just kind of becomes a trope in the franchise. So, this is kind of like a retrospective ugly for me. Like, yeah, I get if we're trying to, like, make the whole thing a little bit morally gray. Like, yeah, these are bad things happening to bad people. But, like, I don't know. Do we have to use that a lot?
Like, I mean, one in a movie, I'm not going to be happy about it, but whatever. But, like, you're going to give me two different characters, like, back to back that are like that. That just kind of is like, eh, come on, guys. Like, there's other things that can be shitty about people that we can explore here.
Yeah. So that's my main ugly, because it's going to keep coming up. And this feels like the gateway into, like, people didn't hate us. Yeah. Punishing domestic abusers, so we're gonna keep, you know, unleashing that trauma of domestic abuse and
let's just keep fucking and exploring that shit. Everybody loves it. That's what everybody comes to Saw for.
Okay. Absurd. And absurd.
God, what the fuck. Okay. We watched this a couple of days ago, so I was trying to, like, figure out why did I think this is absurd. But
it's
my
been a
first
very
thing,
busy weekend.
My first thing is, who shaved Matthews? Did they go in there and shave him? Because his beard game isn't, for somebody that's been like that for like almost a year.
It's 6 months, canonically, they say it.
Okay.
I just imagine he just can't grow a lot of beard.
No, he's got the fucking stubble whenever he gets thrown into the prison cell. And then we get shots of him throughout and it's not a lot. But then by the time we get to him getting his head crushed with ice, he has like kind of a beard.
But I think he just is somebody that can't grow a very full beard.
I don't know, man. It looked pretty good. You tell me Wahlberg can't do that shit?
Also, he's probably malnourished. He doesn't have, like, the right vitamins to...
Does that really make...
Encourage hair growth.
No, I don't think that's a thing. Castaway, man. You see the hair on that boy?
Okay, well, that's Tom Hanks, and he has been touched by God himself, so...
Like, I just get the image of God's finger coming down and just, like, gently touching his face, and then, like, a beard just, like, just comes out. That's, you know, I mean, maybe that could explain it. He's, you know, I've never seen Tom Hanks in a beard, but other than Castaway, but I don't know if it's real. Maybe. The only other thing I have is how long it took for me to realize that the guy from the beginning is the guy that is controlling the game with Hoffman and Matthews.
Oh, yeah, no, I did not catch that on my first or even second watch.
I know, but, like, it's the same face. We're the absurd ones. Right?
Yeah.
And he even takes off his... Yeah, and no, we're getting flashbacks with him.
Yeah, it's very obvious. It's just maybe we were both stupid.
Yeah, I felt very dumb, so. But, like, it's like, oh, shit. Like, at the end of the movie, it's like, that's him.
It's okay. I'm going to tell you something at the end when we get to... internet reviews that will make you feel better.
Oh, good. So. Thank you. Okay, great.
My absurd, and I already talked to you about this. So in part three, Jeff has 2 hours to go down a hallway. This one, Rick has 90 minutes to get across town and complete three traps that involve very elaborate setups, people being knocked out, yeah, forced dude. Into positions.
No, I was thinking about it really hard this watch through, and he has to travel across a fucking city.
Yes.
You can't do that shit in under an hour. Like, it takes me that long to get home from work some days.
Travis, 90 minutes is an hour and a half. I know you like to think an hour is 100 minutes.
I can't fucking shit up. I cannot get time right.
I love that I know you well enough to know exactly why you said under an hour.
Okay. Yeah, whatever, man. Whatever. It wasn't 100 minutes, okay? 100 minutes is an hour. No, it's absolutely ridiculous to expect that from somebody.
Yeah.
Like, especially, well, I guess, like, it makes sense because, like, he's supposed to jump to the end of thing.
I also feel like he's probably put, like, his little light on his civilian vehicle. You know how they have those in case they got to get to the station real quick. Yeah. I imagine he's doing that. He's definitely bullying his way through things. But, like, yeah, it's a very short amount of time. I just think it's really funny that he's, like, the antithesis of Jeff.
Yeah, it is funny. I mean, they're like, well, shit, we went really slow in the last movie. We got to go really fast.
The only thing they have in common is neglecting their wives.
Yeah. Okay, actually, I have one more absurd. And I think that this is like a lot of people's sentiment, but I think it's ridiculous that they cast the guy that is Strom to play alongside Hoffman, given that they look like the same human being.
Dude, I...
it. Legitimately, before I learned these characters, whenever we were first watching these movies, I got them mixed up all the time.
I cannot keep anybody's name straight, and that's part of the reason that I tend to refer to them as Costas Mandalore, Wahlberger, and Luke from Gilmore Girls, because I cannot remember these character names to save my life. And if you are on our Bughead or budget tier and you see our notes on Patreon, mm-hmm. you will see in all of the Saw movies, I refer to them as their actor name more often than I refer to them as their character name.
Yeah.
So.
Old Strothman.
Yeah. Strothman.
But seriously, right. I mean, they look exactly the same. It's so weird to me.
I don't think they look exactly the same. And that's probably just because I grew up watching Scott Patterson on Gilmore Girls.
Yeah,
and also because Costas has very puffy lips and I refuse to believe that they're not fillers. I'm not shaming fillers, by the way. I just also don't think somebody's lips naturally look like that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, whatever. Big lip, man.
Okay. So, all that said and done, what are you rating this?
I feel like this one's like a very solid 7.
Okay.
This is a good one. It's a good movie.
I think it's a very good movie. It's one that I tend to forget about a lot of what happens in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I always just think of it as the one at the same time as three.
Yeah.
In a lot, I've definitely referred to it to you as 3.5.
Yeah.
I still really like it. I think it's one of those that you can think about the least in terms of logistics.
It does take a backseat the rest of them.
Yeah, it's one you have to, because, like, a lot of them you can wave away, like, John was an engineer, whatever. He had all of these plans for the traps at... I don't know enough about engineering to, like, call bullshit on stuff, so whatever.
Probably bullshit.
But Rig is not an engineer. Like, they're counting a lot on him being able to get through this in time. Or, actually, they're counting a lot on him, like, being able to go through super fast and his test is to not go through fast. So that's wild to me. Okay. I'm going to say 7.5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But the way you were talking there, I thought you were going to go in at about like a 6 or something.
No, no, no. I always love these movies.
I mean, 6 isn't a bad score either. Yeah, but no. No, I get it. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's like I said, it's just one of those. And I can turn my brain off to watch a movie. I can't when, like, we're doing a job here. So yeah. I have to, like, call this stuff out.
Oh, no,
but
I
when
get
we're
it.
Watching it, I can absolutely just be like, oh!
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally understand.
So 7.25 starting average.
Hey, hey. Good job.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about it.
Okay.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie.
So we start off with John Kramer getting his autopsy.
We see Tobin Bell peen.
I wonder if that was Tobin Bell's peen or if it was like somebody in there stepping in for Tobin.
Or like a body double thing and he just approved the chest hair and peen.
Yeah, do you think like they ran by like they like had like a rolled up like napkin and they like roll it out on the table and it's just like a bunch of like dicks. He's like, okay,
yeah,
which
like,
I mean, dick guy.
Pick your favorite dick.
Yeah, you guys got $10 million for this movie. I'm the dick guy. Come on, I'm a Hollywood staple.
And
which
they're like,
dick
do you have
want?
Anything else? And he goes, no, I know your budget's $10 million. You can't afford the other dicks.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
I want to be the Hollywood dick guy. That could be a really niche area of prosthetics.
Dude,
for me.
You know what? That could be our intro. Yeah. Into like we could be like the dick people.
Yeah,
you know, like,
let's
hey,
just
like,
start. Let's just start constructing silicone dicks together.
And we can.
And
like,
if it doesn't work out with special effects, hey, we've got a lot of dildos ready yeah, to go.
We can branch out into other genitalia too. You know, if like it yeah. becomes more of like a popular, thriving business.
Yeah.
Don't steal our idea, people. This is ours.
Yeah. Yeah. There's. This is our dick plan. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so during this autopsy, I thought that it was interesting to get his age. And I always was curious because Tobin Bell looks like a very old man, always. But he is 52 years old.
I feel like Tobin Bell is kind of like Steve Martin in that he has never looked young, even when he was actually young.
It's true. I saw him.
George Costanza.
George Costanza looks fine.
Come I know. On. I don't think George Costanza looks old. I think he's just always looked middle-aged.
Yeah, well,
and I think Steve Martin and Tobin Bell have always looked on the other side of middle age.
Yeah, no, like yeah. they got the white hair early. Yeah. I feel like Tobin like wrinkled up a little bit quicker, but you know,
and he's
whatever.
Got that old man chest hair.
He does,
like yeah. where it's like not just white, but like it's very like extra curly.
Like, oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Zoe has white hair.
Well, she's got a lot of white hairs.
No, like. On her back in the midst of all of her black. No. She was curled up on my lap and I was like, oh no.
I'll have to check that out. So yeah, he's 52. Tobin Bell, I don't know. Not so much.
I think it's funny that he's sitting there butt-ass naked for a good portion of this. And then when they're about to start cutting his skull open, the mortician or forensic
autopsy man.
The guy.
Yeah.
He covers him up. And I'm like, what a weird choice that he's been sitting there naked. And now that you're going to cut him open, you cover him up. Like, I feel like either start with him covered or don't cover him at all.
Yeah.
You're about to do a lot of things to his corpse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whatever, man. He's dead. Like, you
like,
know what? He,
definitely show respect. But, like, the nudity is the least of his problems at this point.
Right. Yeah. Well. Either way, they open up his head.
Also, the color grading in this scene is very...
saturated.
No, it's the opposite of saturated. Everything is like gray except for the reds.
Oh, sorry. I meant like the contrast was like... Oh,
okay.
Yeah, the contrast was throttled on this thing.
Yeah. It was like gray. And then they just selected certain focal points to be red.
Yeah.
So.
But they open up his head and we get another look inside the skull. From mm-hmm. the, you know, the first mm-hmm. one where she cut the little piece out. And then they open up his tummy and then they cut into his actual stomach and they find a tape.
Yep. And they're like, all right, guess you better call in the crime squad. Homicide.
Crime squad.
My brain is mush. I slept 12 hours last night, you guys. Okay. So we cut to two men. They're chained up to some sort of thing. One has his eyes sewn shut, which is just the worst possible thing. Because you know what? The other guy has his mouth sewn shut. I feel like you can recover from ripping your mouth open. I don't know how well you recover from ripping your eyelids open. Do you want scar tissue up on your eyelids? No, that's going to fuck up your eyeball.
Yeah, that's upsetting to me. I feel bad for that dude.
I also about that. He doesn't get a fucking tape. Neither of them gets a tape. Like, they're just kind of, like, figuring out what they got to do. At least the one guy can, like, look around at stuff. Meanwhile, Bondi McBat is over there trying to talk to this person and just seeing... Which, by the way, I'm going to say, Art could have gone... Mm-hmm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
maybe not the most legible, but, like, it's better than... Mm.
Okay, so...
Okay.
I think it's a little bit more difficult to communicate like that, given the situation and also the other guy's panicking. And I don't think he's really listening to that. To him, with if you can't open your eyes and all you're hearing is, mm-mm, like, that's not going to be reassuring. I'm going to be freaking the fuck out.
I don't feel like Art is doing enough on his end of things.
Now, you know what's like kind of bullshit for him? Because he ends up winning this. And
then he rips his stitches open anyway?
Immediately. Like, as soon as he kills a guy and wins and unlocks his chain, he's like, meh.
You couldn't save your Jim Halpert Quiet Place scream until after you get those stitches removed properly.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, it's just so fucking stupid. Like, oh, now you do it. Cool. Good timing, dude.
Okay. SWAT is at a location. It looks very much like the location from the first Saw, but whatever.
Yeah.
They're being a lot more careful this time. So, like, last time we were here, dude got his knees broken. So they send in a little robot.
Little fucking bomb squad, dude. Yeah.
And they see a glimpse of Carrie, who definitely doesn't look like she's still alive. But Rig runs in anyway, and Costas is like, it's not secure!
Yeah, he gets so upset. And Rig is, he's very upset because that was his partner. And he's ordering that they take the body down. They're like, come on, man, we can't fucking do
like,
that.
Like, we can't do that. Like, and, like, honestly, the right thing to do would be like, you know, we can't do that, but that because we want to solve her murder. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we
exactly.
have to do this by the book to make sure justice is served. Not just be like, can't, regulation.
But you also got to take pictures like, hey, yeah, we have.
Exactly.
You know, we gotta get
they need all
done.
The evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Costas is like the worst confidant in the world because Rig is like sobbing and Costas is like, yeah, kind of a rough year. How about you go do home renovations?
Yeah, I know, right? He's like, yeah, just take some time off. Finish the deck. That's like a weird thing for him to try and like speak domestic. Like, show. Yeah, go finish your renovation, bro. Did you get the crown molding?
Watches HGTV as part of his jigsaw training. So Perez and Strom arrive. Carrie was actually their FBI liaison. And they're like, couldn't be Amanda Young. She's 10 pounds lighter. And they're like, well, John was an engineer, so it is possible.
Like, Strom's like, no, not it.
Definitely nah. Another cop helped.
Yep.
So Rig is watching the Jill Hoffman interrogation tape. Stop right before her lawyer is seen on screen.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like, we hear him pop in. And, like, later on, having rewatched this, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is definitely Art. And this is where he gets told to go take some time. Yeah. He's like, you know, Matthews was gone. See, I remembered his name.
Hey, good job.
Matthews was gone for 6 months. Carrie was only gone for 4 days. I doubt you're going to find him because that's why Rick is, like, still there. Like,
yeah,
he wants to find Matthews.
He's saying, like, he's fucking dead, dude. Don't worry about it. And Rick is just trying to say, hey, if I don't find the body, he's alive.
Yeah. Rig has seen horror movies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, nobody's dead until you've seen the body.
It's
and sometimes
true.
Even then.
Good on him.
So he goes home. His wife had like left a note. She was packing a bag and she was like, I'm going to stay with my mom for a few days. She needs some help. Come with me. And he's like, you know, I can't. And she's
I
like,
can't do that.
You won't.
Yeah. I'm married to the job.
Carrie had told Perez and Strom that two officers might be in danger, and Strom is very adamant about not telling any of them because he doesn't want to create a panic, but also they're kind of like trying to smoke out
the
inside
guy. Yeah, keep the cards close, yeah.
Yeah. And somebody pops in when they're having this conversation, and they're like, okay, we found a match on the bullet casing.
Yeah, so, yeah, he comes in, and...
He is a named detective, but I didn't write him down because this is his only line.
I can't remember, but... They find out that Kramer owned a company called Urban Renewal Group.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see on the newspaper article that if you look at that picture, it's the guy from the beginning. It's Art.
Art Blank, the
lawyer. Yeah, they're shaking hands. Mm-hmm. So they like went in on a deal with this thing together.
Yeah. At home, Rig is attacked and he wakes up in the shower.
Excuse me, pignapped.
Pignapped. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that. Well, he's still in his own house, though.
That's still
pignapped. That's why I wrote attacked. No, he wasn't taken anywhere. If anything, he was... hogstitched.
Okay, good job.
I did that on the fly.
Good job, man.
Thank you.
Good job. God damn it. You won up me real hard right there.
Okay.
So yeah, he wakes up in the bathtub. He goes out in the most clumsy way. Like, he, like, can't fucking keep his composure. He's falling all over the bathroom floor. He's like Talia jumping out of
a
bath.
They haven't put any of the no-slip daisies on the bottom of their tub.
Seriously, man. It's like, it's almost like he, like, thought, he woke up and thought he was a fish and started just flopping around on the ground.
Can't breathe!
Water!
So his tape tells him that he wants to save everyone, but when he does, he makes bad choices. And then the tape says Matthews is still alive, and he sees a picture of him. Because this is a videotape, not a cassette tape. I guess we need to start clarifying that.
Oh, yeah,
videotapes have always been a thing, but they become more and more common.
Yeah, I mean, because you got to have Billy, even if you're not going to have Jigsaw. Yeah.
He says he's got 90 minutes to survive. And then there's, like, painting on the wall. So much for those renos. see what I see. There is a woman tied to a chair, and her hair is in a contraption that was very awful to me when I had waist-length hair watching this movie.
I was thinking about that. That wouldn't kill her, would it? It would just, like, scalp her.
Yeah, but you bleed out and trauma and all that.
Oh, yeah, it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So she is a trafficker. We see videos of her, like, putting small children into cars, and you know what's it's weird that the way it's all framed, that you know exactly what's happening, and it feels very icky.
It's just, it's so weird, man. Like, damn it, this movie goes to some dark places.
Yeah. He wants to cut her hair, but all the knives have been gone. And she's like, there's a combination. And he didn't stop to say, how do you know that? Because it wasn't anywhere on the tape.
Yeah, like, it's on the back of the machine.
Yeah, so he ends up getting it, not before she, like, has half of her scalp pulled back. And he's like, okay, let me go get some towels, because he's a nice guy. He's like, you're hurt.
Whenever I was watching this, I legitimately thought when he couldn't find the scissors and he finds the gun and he starts to point at the machine.
He was trying to shoot her hair.
Yes, I thought he was going to shoot the ponytail off. I was like, what the fuck, dude? I like the idea. And then he starts shooting the machine. I'm like, oh, okay. Sure. Yeah, that works too, I guess. It just really would have been cooler if he shot her hair.
That's very much the same kind of logic that you had when the power went out and instead of grabbing your Zippo lighter, you grabbed a match
or a flashlight even. Yeah, not my best moment.
So when he gets back in there, she is attacking him with a knife she found under the console. She had her own tape that played before Rig got in there. There's a lot of really impeccable timing happening in this trap. And that said, if he completes his game, your game's going to begin. He's going to use all this evidence on the wall to arrest you, so you're going to need to kill him.
Yeah, she had that tape to her hand, too. So yeah. I guess she will play it whenever he was still in the tub.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he ends up beating her and stabbing her. And,
self-defense, yeah. I'd say. This was when we find out that the prints on the bullet casing are Riggs. Then somebody else pops in and says shots were fired at, like, whatever address, and that's actually Riggs' apartment, which they all know off the top of their head.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if somebody was like, blah, 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 I'd be like, that sounds close to where my coworker lives.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know their exact apartment number.
I wouldn't either. Yeah. Whatever.
So he has two keys. One will save a life. One will take a life away. So Hoffman is tied up. He is on a seesaw contraption with Matthews. Matthews has, like, a noose around his neck, and he's standing on an ice block with a nice little boot on his foot and a heater blasting at the ice block.
Yeah, and we get a flashback showing what Amanda ended up actually doing in the hallway whenever they had their fight, and she beat him up. So she ends up dragging him to...
I think it was John Kramer ends up dragging him, because remember in part three, he says, I cleaned up your mess. Don't worry about
that's
it.
That's right. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Well, okay, so he gets drugged to a prison cell, basically. And we see him. He's even got a jumper, which I think is weird. Like, it's like almost like a prison jumper. It's orange like that.
Oh, too. I feel like it has to be very symbolic for Jigsaw, because
putting him in prison because he's a cop.
Yeah, and like often like framed people to get the arrest.
Yeah, yeah, true. So and then they're just taking care of him, you know, giving him food, maybe shaving him. who knows?
Yeah. No, I think my theory now, if you won't accept the slow beard growth theory, because we see him look at a rat and he grabs it, and I think the movie wants us to think he's eating it, but he's actually doing is holding the rat up to his face to trim his beard for him.
Oh, dude, yeah. I'll accept that. Hell yeah. I want that to be the case.
Okay. Then I wrote down this line from Strom, because the delivery is insane. He has a wife! Where is she? He's so outlandishly upset about the wife not being there. Not because, like, he's worried about her safety, but because he wants to, like, interrogate her meanly.
Yeah.
They see photos of the victims on the wall, and they're all like, yeah, that pretty much makes us pretty mad. Mm-hmm. And Perez is like, well, no, Strom is like, they're setting Rick up as an accomplice, and Perez is like, or an alibi. They see photos of Jill Tuck, one on each wall, four walls make a home, da 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 da. Now mm-hmm. we're going to go interrogate her. Yeah. And this is where we cut to Rick at the motel, and he's got the sign, feel what I feel. At Jill's clinic, four walls build a home, cherish your life. These are the mottos slash maybe the name. I don't really know. She's like, I've already, you know, sat through, done all of this. How much more do I need to convince you guys? You're not going to be able to convince the entire world. He's like, I don't need to convince the world, just 12 people. Ha ha ha. Yeah. So they talk about John's workshop, and we see a little baby Billy in the workshop flashback. Oh,
yeah.
He's so tiny.
I called him Bonky.
What?
Bonky.
Bonky?
He's not Billy yet. He's kind of like derpy. You know,
okay.
Like
Bonky.
Bonky.
Bungie.
Yeah, he's Bungie. Yeah.
So Rig puts the motel creep in a trap, and the motel creep has to choose between his eyes or his body, because he rapes women, takes pictures, and then masturbates to the pictures of the women he has raped. And I'm sorry for the very harsh language on that, but that is the facts of it. He's a creep, and this is one of those that, like, I get the point the movie's trying to make. Like, some victims, like, of the Saw people, you're kind of like, well, I get it.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but I kind of fucking get it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He has some shit coming his way.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't think vigilante torture justice is the right way,
no.
to be clear. Yeah. But, like, in real life, no, I wouldn't promote this.
Exactly.
I would promote definitely more of, like, a restorative justice situation.
Right. Yeah, no, I got you.
Just want to be very clear.
No, you're good. His trap is one of the most brutal ones, though.
Yes.
Because, so he has to choose between his sight or his hands, I think, right?
No, he has to basically take an ice pick to each eye. He's got like a button to hit each eye. Rig very nicely takes off his glasses, so he doesn't also get...
You know, okay, we forgot. <That's his brain. laughs> Did we talk about how Rig had to, like, become a pig and pig nap him?
No, we didn't talk about the pig napping.
Well, I think it's funny that the message that he has for
the
that...
Rig napping.
Yeah, he rig napped him. But I think it's funny that the message tells him specifically to conceal his identity. So he does have to get him, but then once he gets him in the trap, he takes everything off. He's just back to normal.
Well,
Rig.
What is the motel dude gonna do if he survived? Pick him out in a lineup?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
He ain't gonna have any eyes if he survives.
I don't know. That's a good point. You know what?
You know what? The point is moot, because he can't go through with the second eye, and he gets drawn and quartered.
He gets the second eye. He just does it too late, so he gouges both of his eyes, and then it's too late because the time runs out, so he just gets torn apart.
Yeah. It's pretty nasty. Mm-hmm.
Rig already left at this point. He's like,
yeah.
Fucking survive,
yeah,
I guess.
Like,
whatever.
Have fun.
Yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
He has a note that says, go back to where it all began. And he has a flashback to a child that he is trying to rescue from a horribly abusive home life.
Oh, my God. Yes.
And when the lawyer gets the dad out of the office, or when the dad sweet talks his way out, I don't know exactly what happened in the office. He makes some smarmy remark to Rig, and Rig sucker punches him. And
he's like,
again,
yeah.
I kind of love it.
No, I get
Don't approve of cops just randomly hitting citizens.
No,
but
it's
in this
fine.
Case,
right here, that one is really upsetting, though, because the guy is, like, giving off a very, very creepy vibe. Because he's just, like, doing, like, the shake in his hand. And then he does a shh.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking creepy. Yeah, and then when he tells Riggs that, he's like, yeah, fucking kids. You know, you can never believe him. So, yeah, he just punches him.
I wrote, the cops and feds also hate talking to Jill as much as they hate talking to John, because this is where Strong goes, Jill, because he asks a question about like the workshop or warehouse or something, and she goes, do you know anything about the Chinese zodiac?
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck? That's not
what does that have to do with any of this?
And this is where we learn that they had a baby, Gideon, named after a building. How romantic.
yeah.
He was very carefully planned according to the Chinese zodiac, which, as far as I'm understanding the Chinese zodiac, and I may be misinformed, like, there's an animal per year. So he wanted a specific year for Gideon.
Oh, okay. The pig, then, right?
Oh my God, I didn't look it up, but I would be very curious to know.
I mean, this mask that he gets from the thing is the pig. It feels very symbolic.
Oh my God.
I figured that was what they were celebrating. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I could be wrong, though.
Okay. But anyway, so Jill runs a methadone clinic, essentially. Yes. And I'm not going to get into that debate right now, but the science is, you know, they're supporting that as a means of helping assist people dealing with substance abuse issues.
Okay.
And I really support Jill's work towards it. And I really hate attitudes like John's that are like, they're just fucking users and they're never going to get better.
Yeah.
And he only solidifies that opinion when Cecil tricks Jill into... essentially, like, what he does is he says he left his jacket, so she goes to grab it, and when she hands it to him, he bursts in, makes her unlock the door, and he goes in to, like, steal stuff, meds and whatnot.
Yeah.
And when he comes back out, because, like, she's trying to, like, peek in and see what's happening, when he comes back out, he slams the door open so hard it crushes their child inside of her. She immediately starts bleeding. Their baby was seven months along with their child.
Yep.
And yeah. John carries her into the hospital, and it's just really sad.
Yep, it's sad. It's a bummer. This is his origin story right here.
Yeah, and then, you know, she says, you know, we divorced shortly after, and then he had the cancer diagnosis and a suicide attempt.
Yeah, and then she's like, yeah, but a different man crawled out of the car that day.
Yeah. They get called to the motel scene. The room had been rented by a lawyer named Art Blank for the past 2 days. And that's how they were carrying in the mechanics of it. It was piece by piece, not all at once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let's see. They go to another locale with a warning that says, don't get too close. And Strom goes, we're the two targets. So we learned that if Matthews leaves the ice block, he's going to electrocute Hoffman because his ice has melted enough. And when he, like, gets off the little seesaw contraption, it'll go down to Hoffman's chair, which has, like,
electricity. I guess exposed wires and shit around
in
his
theory.
Feet.
Yeah. Art was the abusive dad's husband. We learned this in a flashback.
Mm-hmm.
Hoffman says that he attested on his affidavit that the dad hit Rig first. So Hoffman, maybe he has been playing the long game because he's trying to get Rig on his side by, like, doing him a solid and lying under oath.
Yeah.
Art is at the Hoffman Matthews trap to moderate, is what I wrote. He's the moderator.
Yeah, pretty much. He's just making sure, like, it runs.
Yeah, he's got, like, a little machine on his back. It looks like maybe it will sever his spinal cord or something if he...
Yeah.
I don't want to know what that machine did. I'm fine with not hearing his next tape.
I like that.
It looks unpleasant.
I like that he's, like, upfront with them about it. He's just telling them, hey, if you guys live and chill the fuck out, we all get to walk free if this guy ends up winning his game.
Yeah.
So we just gotta chill here. Everybody be cool.
At least he's not somebody that once called John Kramer interesting.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, he was just a close business partner and friend.
It's like, yeah, he's actually kind of a dick.
So Rig is at the school. There's 32 minutes left on the timer. So that means he's done all of what we've already talked about in an hour.
It's so insane. It is so fucking insane.
We see the mom and dad from the abused child case.
Yep.
And they are kind of bundled together.
Yeah, tied back to back.
And we get a flashback of when they woke up and the mom had to pull arrows out of her. And basically the way the arrows were positioned, they were going to hurt her, but they were going to kill him because they were in major arteries.
Yeah. So, and they, like... The tape play is just saying, hey, it's either you or him. So she does that and he dies.
Yeah. He's like, you can both die. It's either you or both of you.
Oh, right. Because you'll both bleed out eventually. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you can save yourself or you can... Oh, that's another one that they use in part 7 in the like survivor group, the lawnmower trap where they're like hanging up there and she smacks and she was like, he was abusive.
Yeah, you're right. You know what? You're right.
That's a Jigsaw is like, hey, if you're in an abusive relationship, it's 100% your fault. Fix your shit. John, you fix your shit. You're kind of a bad person. Well, we've talked about this. Obviously, he's a bad person. But yeah, like that's such a shitty mentality to have. There's so much more that goes into the psychology of abuse. Okay. Anyway, Rig has to save as I save. There's a pic of Tracy, his wife, and on the back it says, go home. He leaves, but he pulls the fire alarm on his way out so that way somebody can come and help
save her.
Yeah. The feds arrive at the scene. They learn that all of the people in the traps were represented by Art Blank, who is also Jill Tuck's lawyer.
Ooh.
Buildings in Jill. I don't know what this is. I don't know what that word is. So there is a trap in the classroom that kills one of the crime scene techs. And then in the next room over, they find a Billy puppet that's got like a tape playing, but you can't really hear it. So Perez leans really close and then Billy blows up and a huge piece of ceramic goes into her forehead.
Again, perfect timing, right?
Like, yeah.
She had to be looking right in his face for that to be effective.
Yeah. Art gives Matthews a gun.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand what the thing here, like you can kill yourself, you can kill me, you can kill him, like, do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, like, it's just, his instructions must say, give him a gun, say nothing else. Yeah. Like,
but Matthews looks up and he sees the ice box up there and he sees all the contraptions. So he's like, do I shoot that? If I shoot that, are they going to crush me?
Yeah, and then he looks over at the timer and Art says that every single one of them, all three of them, will go free when the timer hits zero.
Right.
So there's some more interrogation and a flashback to Art talking to John about their business development because they're in that urban development project together.
Yeah.
And he's basically like, give all my shares to Jill. I don't fucking want them. And like, look, I get that, you know, verbal contracts in some states are binding, but no lawyer worth his salt is going to like do that with a person who's clearly emotionally traumatized and just saying shit.
Yeah. But John's just saying, yeah, I don't want you here. Get the fuck out
also,
of here.
Also, Art is doing that like classic thing of like trying to like sound like he's a very active listener. He's like, John, talk to me, John.
Yeah.
Friends, John.
I fucking hate it. It comes across as passive aggressive.
Well, because he says it too many times. Like, it's a very like, I'm listening to you, John. I get how you're feeling, John, but I want to make money, John.
When you put like, the Johns in there, when you in everything with John,
it is good to use people's names. It does show that you care about them, but when you do it too many times, like you said, it comes across as like patronizing almost.
He's also kind of got like mean eyebrows right now, too.
He's not
very happy. He gets kicked out.
And this is where we flash back to him kidnapping Cecil. Doing his very first ever test.
Yeah.
He ties Cecil to a chair and tells him that he has to make his outsides match his insides. Ugly. Dude. He's got to push his face into a bunch of butcher knives.
This thing is fucking gnarly. Like, seriously, you have to push your face through a whole thing of knives. That's going to fuck you up. That could cut your eyes and shit.
Yeah. No, I'd be like, all right, let me just bleed out then.
Yeah, just fucking.
He's got nails in his wrist. So, like, the other option is to slowly bleed out. But what ends up happening is the chair collapses. And John goes, huh, interesting. And Cecil charges at him and John steps to the side, it's very like much like a Roadrunner cartoon.
Matador.
And Cecil falls into a mini what's it called? Barbed wire pit.
I think that this is his, like, he's working out the kinks on the trap from the first one, the maze.
I think he stayed up all night watching Suspiria, is very dazed, is in an emotionally volatile state already, and he's like, this seems an efficient way of killing.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so it actually is because it kills Cecil. He gets all trapped up in there. He can't find his way out. Dies.
So the feds are like, we have to figure out where this Gideon building is. That's where it's all going to end. Meanwhile, Rig is at the Gideon building. There's about 3 minutes left. We see Jeff in a keychain form. Like, he finds a little keychain on the ground, and it's Jeff and his family.
Yeah, it's like the pictures that he was putting together in the last movie.
No, it's like a little key, like an actual little keychain, like the type that you get like amusement park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he sees that, and he's like, huh. And we're like, oh, okay, we're in the same building where this one happened. That makes sense. Like, nobody's putting this shit together.
Yeah. But then you start to hear parts like of dialogue from the last movie.
Yeah. Well, this is, then we see Jeff walking slowly and angrily down the hall. Uh-huh. Strom gets there. He is closer to the surgery / Jeff side of things. And he like pops in right as he sees Jeff killing Jigsaw. So he shoots Jeff, and then a door slams and he's like, who's there? And there's 40 seconds and then 10 seconds and then 4 seconds and then 1 second. And Matthew shoots at Rig, but it's too late. Rig opens the door. No. He shoots Art. Ice crushes Matthew's head. Strom has already killed Jeff and got locked in that door. Uh-huh. Rig shoots Art as he's playing his tape. He hits it perfectly timed.
Yeah, and he's then like, he learns, I'm about to play the tape for you.
Yeah. And Rig learns that if he had just waited one more second, everybody would have gone free. Mm-hmm. And then Hoffman steps out of his chair. He wasn't electrocuted.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. Pull back to the autopsy room from the beginning of the movie. You think the games are over, Detective Hoffman, but your tests have just begun, or whatever the fuck he says. Yeah. Something like that. But yeah, that was like the biggest fucking twist in the world to learn that it was happening same time, simultaneous games.
It's so fucking good.
Yes.
Man. It's a great ending. Okay, so how do you feel about it after talking about it?
I feel a little bit more positive, so I'm going to bump it to 775.
I agree. You know what? I think I'm going to take me to 8.
Oh, buddy!
Let's go 8, man, because this is a good movie, actually, and that twist is so fucking good. The fact that it's just going at the same time, I love that so much.
Our new average is a 7.875.
Nice.
So that's pretty nice. Talia was kind of sleepy, except for when we... What the fuck is this note? When singing Squeak near the end. Where we... Oh! Squeaker Simulator. We started doing that with the choice.
Puppy Simulator.
So, yeah.
we've just been singing Simulation Dog, songs at our dog.
Yeah, we haven't been able to stop singing Frickless Simulator for like 5 days. That was kind of a problem. So yeah, she's mostly okay with it. I think she's a little bit cooler on this one than she is on the others.
I think so too.
She's like, it's fine. She's like, it's very unrealistic. He'd get there in 90 minutes. So I think Ty's gonna give this a 6.
Okay, that's fair.
Zoe, she watched the whole damn thing. She's very cuddly. She's very into it.
Yeah, I think she likes the Costas era.
Yeah. She's all about the Costas arc in Saw.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's her red ribbon army. You know, some people say that it's the most tedious fucking thing in the world, and some other people are like, but it pays off big time. Just does, wait.
It fucking does. Okay. Who do you relate to?
Probably Perez, because she just wants to do good work and help people and wants to see the best in people, even when it's like, you know, bad people. And she's like, yes, I feel very angry when I see these, but also vigilante justice is not the way.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Who do I relate to? Boy, this is a weird one.
Yeah.
Shit. God, everybody fucking sucks in this movie. I relate to Art.
Okay.
Because, sorry, did you have something you wanted to say?
Okay. I'll hold it.
I relate to Art because of that scene where he is in there with Matthews and he realizes like Matthews like playing dead or whatever. So he goes over there to check on him. And then whenever he like touches Matthews just starts kicking and attacking him.
Because it's like Talia.
Exactly. Like I'll go over there and I'll be like, hey, Talia, are you okay? And I'll touch her and she's like, whoosh. She starts like moving her arms everywhere and flipping upside down and kicking at me.
We didn't talk about this, but when Rig first gets to the hotel, there's like somebody sleeping in the doorway. And I was like, is that Three Finger? And you're like, what? Maybe. I don't know. Kind of looks like him. It's fucking Three Finger.
It is Three Finger. Yeah, he's in the hallway.
So, like, yeah, he's. I'm really good at picking out characters that have no lines and just be like, hey, they're from that other thing.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Dream sequel?
We don't do dream sequel because it's a franchise.
Which trap would we survive?
I think I would honestly survive Art's trap because I think I would do the Jim Halpert scream, but like at the very beginning. You know what I mean? I'd be like, we gotta work together.
So you're talking about that very first one?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we got that one. What's the other ones? We got the hair.
Yeah, the hair machine. Eyes or body.
Eyes or body.
The arrows.
Arrows.
Cecil's.
The knife.
The knife.
Face thing. God damn it, these traps suck.
Yeah. The other ones are all, like, I don't really want to count Matthews and Rig, because Rig is just running out the clock, and Matthews is just also running out the clock. I feel like those are too easy to include.
Both of them? Yeah. Okay. What about Art?
We don't know what his thing is.
His thing is to moderate, you know?
Yeah. We don't know what that machine attached to him does.
He can clearly leave the area. Yeah. I feel like I can do that one because I feel like I would get ahead of that door and be like, hey, Rig, man, just hold on just a fucking second. I know everything that's going to happen here.
But we don't know enough about the parameters of his game. Like, we don't. Really can't. Like, we didn't hear what his tape was. We just heard Hello Art. Like, and that's all. Like,
okay. Well, if I have to choose one of the others, then I think I could do the hair one. It's going to suck. You're going to get your hair pulled out and probably parts of your scalp. But, you know.
And you personally would have a hard time because then Chad would be mad at you because you just grew your hair out again.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, but I think I could do it. I think I can make that one. It's just going to really, really suck.
Okay.
Hair will grow back, though. Or I can get a transplant or toupee. You know, I'll be okay.
What about? I'm more concerned about the skin.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
Okay.
All right. Tagline.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the original is it's a trap. So it's several traps. It's
several traps. That's like very to the point and real. Software, we got traps. Software, we got traps.
Software, tour the city.
Tour the city.
Software, the rig napping.
Rig napping. Okay.
Which one?
I think the rig napping one's good. Okay. I feel like
but you have to do it like right underneath the title so it looks like a subtitle.
Can we do it? Can it be the rig happening? Can that be it? We got a wall break here. It qualifies. This is like, you know.
The rig happening.
Yeah, come on. Like, you know, maybe like maybe nature was killing them this time around. We don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now it's time for internet reviews.
Okay. So I want to say, I went to IMDb. Uh-huh. I wanted to, because I know how we feel about this. And I was like, let me look for some negative reviews. So many of the one-star reviews were people being like, why did they just recap the end of 3 at the end of part 4? And I was like, did you not get that it was happening at the same time? Like, multiple. It wasn't just one person, Travis.
Oh, my God. Come on.
So many people were like, why did they choose to recap this at this moment?
I hope that those people still think that that's what happened. That's amazing.
Like, look, I get it. We've all had stupid misconceptions about movies. It's just wild to me that that many people didn't get one of the best twists in the franchise.
It deserves so much better.
Okay, so this is kind of a longer one, but they actually had like a lot of critiques for it.
Okay.
Also, the story has been neglected for horrific torture scenes. Although the first installment was marketed as being violent, it actually contains minimal violent scenes and had genuinely interesting idea. Saw 4 contains many traps, but at no point did I care about any of the characters. I didn't know anything about them, as no time was spent on developing them. The storyline is basically identical to that of Saw 3, and it is really a boring film. Any supposedly scaring moments are predictable. Another thing, why are some of these people even being put in these stupid games? The main character's reason for being there is he just wants to save everyone. What? Is that a crime? Surely that's a good thing. Why does Jigsaw claim he is doing the right thing and then torture a person who is, one, doing a respectful job, and two, arresting the very people he originally tortured because he thought they were bad? Spoiler, the story also makes little sense. If the new apprentice guy knows Jigsaw is dead, why doesn't he just shout to our hero Rig and tell him not to walk into the room before 90 minutes so they can survive? Mm-hmm. Instead of relying on him not doing the thing that he's been specifically told to do. Spoiler over. Also, what is with the lighting? Why do characters walk around their houses at night without switching lights on? Yes, darkness can be scary, but when characters are having the regular conversation, there's no need to build suspense, and we would like to actually see what is going on when we go to view a movie. Hit a little bit more, but...
Okay.
I thought those were a lot of interesting points.
You know, those are all fair.
Yeah.
I think it is. I mean, that's exactly what I said before. I thought the motive was really fucking weird. Like, I mean, yeah, he's not a bad... Like, if he's too trigger happy... if you're trigger happy in a cop, that's not good.
Yeah, that's a bad combination.
Sorry. If you're, like too gung-ho, like, you know, maybe that will...
Yeah,
that
is bad. He is creating safety issues for himself and other officers, but I feel like that's not what's emphasized in this. It's just that he wants to help people.
That just doesn't justify a Jigsaw trap. Like, all the other ones before that have been people doing horribly illegal shit. You know what I mean?
Like I said, my headcanon makes it make more sense. I don't know if it's great to need a headcanon to make a movie make sense, but I mean, think mine is kind of reasonable in this case.
It is. I'll accept it. I think it's fine. Yeah.
We're almost done!
Yeah, we got the pets attacking the door right now. Okay.
User reviews.
User, okay.
Listener reviews. Sorry, I was doing the IMDb user review thing.
No, you're
just
good.
On my screen.
We got one.
Okay.
It's for Michael E. Howard.
Okay.
All right, Michael
says, curious to see how well we line up this time.
Yes. Now we're talking. Saw 4 is a fun ride. As Agent Rig slowly makes his way through his test, we get to see... more of the life story of John Kramer's life, including his former wife, Jill. This cast is great. The traps were amped up, and the twists kept you on the edge of your seat. The final twist upon twist, Hoffman, what? And then it all takes place parallel to part 3 is the ultimate twist, even though it's part of the series that starts to get super wild. I appreciate what it brings to the franchise. 8.5 out of 10.
Nice. No, I agree. I honestly, as much as I love the original trilogy of this, I kind of love this next trilogy.
I do too.
It's and you know what? I'm going to spoil us ahead of time. We like all of the newer ones too.
Oh, so. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, there's not one that I don't like. Yeah. But no, I feel like this is where it kind of gets a little bit unhinged and it goes like fucking crazy from this point on.
I love it.
I do too. It's great. It's fantastic.
And here's the thing is that like I get that people liked the first one because it felt more grounded and like a more contained story. But also it's such an unhinged premise that I like when it goes unhinged, just leans into it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I do like that one, but I like that it's like the one that stands out like that. Like the rest of them kind of get more and more crazy as it goes on.
Yeah, this is right there. They're Marcus and Dunstan, Melton and Dunstan are testing the waters, dipping their toes in. So. Yeah. All right.
All right. So I guess that's it for this one.
I suppose it is.
Okay. Next week.
Like I said, on Sunday, we'll have our to be or not to be.
Right.
If we remember, we'll try and post what maybe we're watching. But oftentimes we do it right before we watch and then we record usually pretty shortly after.
Like pretty
so there's
right
no,
then.
There's yeah. not a lot of time. Those are very quick turnarounds.
Yes.
For Thanksgiving, we have Black Friday.
Or Black Friday, I guess.
Yeah, too, you can save it a day and listen to it on Black Friday if you want. So this is actually going to be a new watch for both of us because we're just trying to find new Thanksgiving movies. We're not going to cover the Eli Roth Thanksgiving this year just because it is too hard to do that while it's still in theater. Like, we want to go and watch it in theaters and enjoy it and not worry about taking notes. And we're not going to pay $50 to... watch it twice.
No, fuck that. No.
But right now, you can watch Black Friday on Plex, Fubo TV. You can rent it on Redbox, YouTube, Google Play, Vudu, or Prime.
Nice.
So I'm pretty excited about it.
I am
just
too.
Excited about the cast. I like that it's, you know, very... I've never had a good experience Black Friday shopping, so I'm very excited for this.
Yeah, I'm excited too. But yeah, we get Bruce Campbell, Devon Sawa. I'm sure there's a couple of other people I'm forgetting. But
it just looks like a really fun time. I've heard good things about it. So
yeah,
well, we'll be watching that. And I think that that finishes us up.
That's it for this time. All right, cool.
Until next time.
Hold on.
Oh, fuck. Okay, you do it.
All right.
Badge of shame for me over here.
First off, I'd like to thank the patrons out there. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate your all support. People such as Eric and Vivi of Shaken Not Scared, Joe.
Freakatron.
As is his full name, Amber and Michael. You guys are awesome. We really do appreciate your support. If anybody else wants to do that, we can, you know, we're on Patreon.
And I would like to say, Joe, it was very nice seeing you this weekend. And I love that people in real life, well, our mutant fam in real life, like to call you Joe Freakatron.
Yeah, I like that too. Yeah.
It's just become a thing that we had to use for ourselves to clarify which Joe in our lives we're talking about. And it's just become Joe Freakatron.
Yeah, as is his full name. Yeah. but yeah, we really do appreciate you guys. You guys are awesome. You can find us on social media. We have a Twitter, which is Least Fave Pod, which that's also our Blueski or Blue Sky. We are on Threads and Instagram, Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast. Facebook, What's Your Least Favorite Scary Movie Podcast? And we have a website, whatsyourleastfavoritescarymovie.com. And you can email us at leastfavoritescarymovie@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you want to support us in non-monetary ways, you can help us tell the algorithm that we're great by rating, mm-hmm. reviewing, subscribing, sharing us, all of the things.
Yeah, really do appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That's been nice to see you guys doing that. So
and listen,
you.
If you just want to rate and you don't want to leave a review, I'm not going to judge. I fill out satisfaction surveys because I know that it's important to, you know, the people that are working, but unless it's required of me, I will leave the comment section blank.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
And if it's required of me to put something in, I'll just write something like, good. So I'm not giving quality answers on that. So I'm not going to judge anybody who doesn't want to take the time.
G-E-W-D,
good. Yeah. If you just want to like rate us 5 stars, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm totally fine with that. That's fine with me.
But we do appreciate the people that do take the time to write the reviews. We do read them. And that's they're really great. Yeah.
Thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, so we'll see you guys on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see y'all then.
All right.
Bye.
Bye. Patrick.
Warburton.
Patrick. Fuck.
Later.